question is like this, fellas. We find ourselves in a very fragmented community of Jews when it comes to this time of year. You may have been aware on Yom HaShoah, different approaches to dealing with the day. And as we come tonight to Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmut, so a lot of the identity crisis that you have amongst the Jewish people, and specifically amongst the religious Jews. Because basically there are many, many approaches, many, many nuances to the question of the state of Israel, which we don't have time to go into. But the truth is you could probably come and talk about 15 different shittot regarding how to approach Yom HaTzmaut. But we're just going to give a very general outline to, is religious Zionism the will of God? That's the question we want to deal with. Is the approach that sees the state of Israel as something positive? Okay, that will say Hallel and Yom HaTzmaut, whether it's with a bracha, without a bracha, there are halachic issues involved with that, we're going to leave that aside right now. It basically doesn't say Tachanun, it's something to celebrate. Sees Israel as part of the beginning of the redemption, Aschalta de Geula. Okay, this is basically the approach of religious Zionism. It views it as a miraculous event. The establishment of the state of Israel is a miraculous event. This is the question. So obviously, when you want to know what is the will of God, right? The question is who should be the one to determine what is the will of God. What do you think? What?
Gedolim.
Okay. How did Gedolim know? God. Okay. The will of God. We'd have to know what is from God Himself, right? How do we find out what God Himself?
Torah.
The Torah.
Chazal.
Okay. Chazal.
History.
Nevi'im. Okay. So the first address is computer. The Navi. Okay? First address is the Navi. The Navi knows the will of God. Okay? This is actually not a real picture of Moshe.
How would you know?
I think it's darker complexion.
For example.
Is this rich?
It's more, it looks like Charlton Heston. Okay, but we have no more prophecy. We live at a time, unfortunately, Mishemesu Nevi'im HaAchronim Chagai Zechariah Malachi Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh MiYisrael Vaydayin Mishtamshim BeVaskol. There is such a concept of Vaskol even after the time of Nevuah, right, where there's a heavenly voice that comes down from heaven every so often. I've had a few of them, but not for now. But basically, Miyom Shachar Beis Hamikdash Nitin Levuah Min HaNeviyim. V'nitin L'Chachamim. Okay? That it wasn't, once Nevuah was taken away from Neviyim, it was given to Chachamim. Then the Gemara asked, that's what Chacham Lav Navi, who is in the Chacham and Navi? It was given from taken from Neviyim. Halikamar Avu Bishin Nitla Min HaNeviyah Min HaChachamim Lo Nitla. Another opinion says, Mishiyom Shachar Beis Hamikdash Nitla Nevuah Min HaNeviyah Min Nitla Leshokim Lo Nitinoka. Tinoka. Okay, it was given to fools and to children. But Lemaisa, we don't have Nevi'im today. We have Chachamim, we have Shotim, plenty, we have children, we have Chachamim. So who do we have? Who are our Chachamim?
Brisker.
Okay, where's the Brisker up?
All the way
to the right. This is the Brisker up. What's the Brisker up's name?
The
Great. The Available Salvation. Rebel!
Oh my!
who else do we have here?
Chaim!
Who else?
Satmarevi?
Rabbi Yodosh Tadelbaum? Chaim Brisker? Where else? Where is his kever? Who else do you see?
Rabbi
Yosef Chaim Zonfeld?
Who's the bottom left?
Okay, he's Rabbi Eretz Yisrael, the head of the old Yeshiva Yoshan. Who's this? It says his name, yes, that's an easy one.
Leibowitz.
Baruch Ber.
Baruch
Ber. Hey, Tom, who's Mr. Up? And who's this? Come on, fellas. This is Rav Chanan Wasserman. Okay, Rav Chanan Wasserman. Okay, Tamar and the Brisker Rav. These are the three main Talmidim of the Brisker Rav. His son, Baruch Ber, Rav Chanan Wasserman. He also comes in with Eretz Yisrael. He holds Teitelbaum in Satmar. Okay, now what is their position? Comes to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, these are of our greatest Gedolim. The Gedolim oppose religious Zionism. Chaim Soloveitchik of Bris. Okay, the Zionists did not make Jews heretics in order to have a state. They want a state in order to make Jews into heretics. Or he once wrote, the Jewish people have suffered many plagues. Tzedukim, the Karaim, Hellenized, the Shabtai Tzvi, enlightenment. But the strongest of them all is Zionism. It's pretty strong words. Anti-Zionist. Yes?
Is that talking about Zionism and not religious Zionism?
I don't think he was Michalik so much. But,
Possibly,
but he was certainly opposed. Hey, Rav Chanan Wasserman, don't have time to read, but he was very much opposed to Zionism. Okay? We must emphasize the clear position of our Holy Torah. Inasmuch as there are Jews who are Torah observant, who say that Jewish state would be the beginning of the redemption, we must inform the position of our Torah, and is nothing less than the beginning of a new exile. Religious Zionism. Okay? The Brisker Rav. How can these small rabbis and heads of yeshivas take upon themselves the determination of things dealing with life and death? This was a discussion in the convention in Marievan, which was in Czechoslovakia, where all the Gedol Yisrael was talking about the Jewish state. It's obvious that the partition will bring with it the anger and hostility of the Arabs and other nations of the world. This whole thing touches on the shedding of blood. How do they have the arrogance to make judgments dealing with life and death? Chazon Ish. Okay, also, strong words here. In our time, all are alike in their views of Zionism, Mizrahi, and all that happens through them. I know of almost no divergent opinions between religious people on these matters, to the point where anyone who wishes to embrace what we feel should be alienated, judged by this religious intuitive feeling as one who is suspect. Okay, what's the big opposition to the state of Israel? Okay, so here are some of the arguments. You have, can the redemption come through people who aren't religious? And the religious leaders are even anti-religious. Okay, and certainly at the beginning of the founding of the state, very, very strong opposition to religion. Can the redemption come without tshuva? Okay, it's machlokas and Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Okay, between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar, can you have a gula without tshuva? The state is based on a secular law system. The land spits out sinners. You read in Parshas, the end of Parshas Achrimos and Kedoshim. It is better if the non-religious would stay out. It is against the will of God. For the Gemara in Ketubot, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Another argument you'll hear is that we were better off before Zionism, before the state. Look how much terrorism, look how much death of Jews is a result of the establishment of the state of Israel. Okay, what is this Gemara that they're referring to? Is anyone on the Gemara here?
Yeah.
The three Shavuos. What are the three Shavuos? Okay, it's the last of the three.
Can't
shalo ya'alu kechoma, you shouldn't go up together in mass. Okay? And? One, that Israel should not rise up like a wall. Shalo ya'alu kechoma is the lashon of the Gemara. Okay? Another, that God had Israel swear not to rebel against the nations. Shalom yimredu bagoyim, bagumus ha'olam. Should not rebel. And the last, God and the nation swear not to subjugate Israel too much. Shalom Yalu Yisrael Bachama, Bachach Shvia Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shalom Yimredu Bumas Olam, right? Shalom Yishtabdu Behem Yisrael Yosem Yidai. These are the Gemara Shuvos. Okay, this is the Gemara at the end of Ksuvos. And it's this Gemara that Rav Yoel Shteilman is perhaps the most famous anti-Zionist. Okay, the Satmar Rebbe. He wrote a sefer called Vayol Moshe, which is three thick volumes arguing, trying to prove how the Zionism, religious Zionism, Zionism doesn't make a difference, was Mechalek, Lehefech, he's more opposed to religious Zionism than he is to Zionism, because religious Zionism is much more dangerous, because they argue in the name of Torah. It's one thing, secular people, so okay, big deal. They're easily to disprove, but the religious Zionists are much more dangerous. So Vayol Moshe has three volumes, and based on these Gimel Shuos, says that it's usher for us to go and establish the state of Israel. Absolutely forbidden. God made us swear. Okay? Where does the Gemara get this from? Where does this Gimel Shuos come from? Many people have never heard of it before they saw this Gemara. Where does it come from?
It's a Gadata
and Gemara, correct? What's the source of this Gadata? So the source, it's darshaning actually a pasuk in Shira Shira. Okay, Hishbeti Eschem Benosh Yishalayim, which repeats itself three times in Shira Shira, and that darshan's knows Hishbeti Eschem Benosh Yishalayim, Gimel Shavuos Halalu, Lema. Okay, it's referring to these three oaths. So who wrote Shira Shira? Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech lived when? During the time of King Solomon, correct. Okay, yes, during the first temple, he built the first temple. And he wrote Shir HaShirim. Okay? When did he write Shir HaShirim? When in his lifetime did he write Shir HaShirim?
Early.
He wrote three books that were canonized, part of Tanakh. What were the three?
Koheles,
Mishlei, Shir HaShirim. Which did he write first?
Shir HaShirim.
Which did he write last?
Kohelet.
Okay, very good. So this is Shlomo HaMelech wrote from these psukim, Chazal Darshan, these Gimel Shavuos. Okay, now, if you go to the Sifrei Halacha, you won't find anywhere this Gemara quoted La Halacha. You won't find it. You won't find it quoted La Halacha anywhere except in the Megillas Esther. Anyone know where the Sefer Megillas Esther is? Not the Sefer Megillas Esther, not the scroll of Esther. Okay? Megillas Esther, anyone heard of the Megillas Esther? Megillas Esther, if you look at the Sefer Mitzvos of the Rambam, you will find that the Rambam wrote the Sefer Mitzvos, so the Ramban, Nachmanides, wrote a criticism of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, and he in response to his criticism of the Rambam, the Megillas Esther writes a defense of the Rambam, and in his defense of the Rambam against the Ramban, he quotes the Gimel Shavuos, because the Rambam doesn't list the mitzvah to settle in Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah. It's not counted amongst the 613 according to the Rambam. According to the Ramban, it's one of the 613. It's a mitzvah not only to live in Israel, it's a mitzvah to settle the land of Israel, to establish a community in Eretz Israel. And the Ramban doesn't list it. So it's a big kasha why the Ramban doesn't count it as a mitzvah. So the Megillas Esther, in defending the Rambam, says, because the Rambam holds the Gimel Shavuos, that we're not allowed, since the destruction, we're not allowed to go and go up in mass to rebel against the non-Jews, so it was a mitzvah just for a certain period of time, and it will be reinstated once upon a time when Mashiach comes.
That was the Ramban talking about the Rambam.
Right, Ramban criticizes the Rambam. The Ramban says, why the Rambam leave this out? It's a mitzvah midaraisa, living in Israel. And the Gilas Esther, in defending the Rambam, says the Rambam doesn't hold it's a mitzvah because it's no longer a mitzvah today. It's not a mitzvah today. The Rambam only lists off the mitzvahs that are that are relevant for all time. It was once relevant, no longer relevant. It will be once again relevant. Time based on Mikdash. Yeah.
So it's relevant again. Which mitzvahs have been bumped off?
The 613 are those mitzvahs that are relevant. There are many, many mitzvahs. There are thousands of mitzvahs. The question is, how do you determine which are the 613? So the Rambam himself, in his Hakdamah to Sefer Mitzvahs, he hadn't arrived at the 613. He gives kolim, he gives rules of how he arrived at them. Some mitzvahs are not counted. Some mitzvahs are counted. Why weren't they counted? So the Megillah says, because this mitzvah is not counted amongst the 613, it's because of it's not for Ludoros. It's not for all generations. So yes, the mitzvah is always applicable or can be reapplied, but just not counted amongst the 613. Okay, what's the religious Zionist response to the 13 principles, the three shvuos? There's actually a sefer, which if you want, you can download an English translation. And there's a more recent edition of this. I have an older edition from 1980. Okay, which this is written by Rav Shlomo Aviner. Some of you may be studying his Svarim. He's one of the most prolific writers of Svarim in the Jewish world today. Probably has over 100 Svarim out. Every couple of weeks he has another Sefer out on the market. Anyway, so this was a small pamphlet he put out. Birurim b'inyan shalo yalu kechoma. Okay, basically is what is the response, what is our response to... To, and usually I would give out photocopies of this. Do I have copies here on me? He gives basically... Anyways, you have it here. He gives basically 13 responses, of which the 13 are really made up of subdivisions. Basically 100 answers. He has 100 sources to respond to the Shalo Yalu Kechoma. Okay. Number one, the wall fell by the permission of the nations of the world. Okay, the nation of the world decided. The United Nations decided, or the League of Nations, more accurately, the precursor of the United Nations. They decided that the Jewish people can go up. There was a vote in Khaftep in November, which established a partition plan. Even before that, in the Balfour Declaration. Okay, there was a conference in San Remo, Italy, where basically the nation of the world got together and decided that we're going to establish a homeland for the Jewish people. So once the nation of the world decided that it's okay, so it's no longer a wall. There's no longer what Shalo Yalu Kechoma. At the time of divine remembrance, the wall is nullified. Okay, when there's specifically, and again, everything I'm quoting here, he brings sources for it. When there's the lashon of pakadati, okay? For example, again, when were the Gimel Shavuos from? The time of the first temple, okay? So what's the bikasha on these Gimel Shavuos? If it's already from the time of Shir Ashir, from the time of the first temple,
how do they come back in the second temple?
How do they come back, exactly? How do they come back in the time of Koresh? Right? Koresh, we learned, if you were in the Megillus Esther Shiru, Koresh, in the beginning of Sefer Ezra, calls Jewish people to go and return to build the Second Temple. So thousands of Jews go, not a lot, 40,000 Jews, Sacha Kol go. Mordechai is one of them, Zerubbabel, later on Ezra and Nehemiah come, but the Jewish people return, they rebuild the Second Temple. How can they do it? It goes to violate the Gemara Shavuos. No, because they had permission. Right? There's no longer a wall. Once the Koresh, who was the most powerful king at the time, says, go and rebuild the temple. So we have permission. It's a time of Pekidah. God, he said, he's speaking the name of God to go and reestablish. The awakening of the nation is the remembrance. The Jewish people decide they want to return to Eretz Yisrael all of a sudden. That's enough. The appearance of the revealed end of days is the remembrance. The harvest of the exile is the remembrance, right? Following the Holocaust. The appearance of the Gra is a remembrance. That's one of the opinions. That's just the Gra coming to the world and encouraging his Talmidim to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's not a good sound. What? That means shutting off on me?
Yeah, it's this one.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, this would be up like 10 minutes.
Okay, violations in the nation of the world of their oath nullify all the other oaths. Okay, the third oath that Ari Zaitz mentioned, I'm getting your question in a second. Once they enslaved us much more harshly than we could, right, who could argue differently that the Holocaust, right? The Jews, the non-Jews aren't supposed to enslave us too harshly. After the Holocaust, is there a question? Is there a question? Ascending in stages is not like a wall. Shaloyo kachama is that the Jewish people come in mass together. But there was never a one-shot mass movement. People came in stages. There was the first Aliyah, the second Aliyah, third Aliyah. People came after. There was never a time when people came 5 million people at once. It's 1 million people. 100,000 people? Never. Never was 100,000 people came at one time. It was all in stages. Yeah.
What is the appearance of the real end of days?
This opinion, if you want, Hakeitz and Megulat, remember, tell you whose opinion this is. Second. Yeah. So we have some revealed aspects of the redemption. Okay? So the Gemara Sanhedrin says, Ein lecha keitz megillah mizu, you have no more revealed redemption than the fact that the land is giving off its fruits. It's Gemara Sanhedrin on Sadi Ches. So the fact that this land was laid barren, it was barren, there was nothing growing here, it was all marshland, it was swamps, it was. And all of a sudden, the land is giving off fruits. There, when my aunt and uncle, they moved here in 1969, and when my grandparents came to visit them in 72, so they said, "What do you want us to bring from America?" Okay, so they didn't ask for an iPod. They didn't ask for Fruity Pebbles, or they didn't ask for anything. What did they ask for? Bring some apples. Bring apples. There were no apple trees in Israel at the time. 1972. Now you go, I mean, one of the things, one of the proofs of the redemption is upon us. Ein lecha keitz megillah mizu, you go to Machane Yehuda. You go to Machane Yehuda, you see the
animals.
No. You see the fruits. You see the unbelievable fruits of Eretz Yisrael. The fruits, the vegetables, and it's an unbelievable. And you think about just how many years ago they didn't have, right? And most of these things you can't even get in America. You can buy it in America, but it's not made in America. It's all imported. So in America, you can buy any fruit at any time of year because it's all imported. Here, everything's seasonal, right? Because right now it's the Now the summer fruits are starting to come out. So now you have peaches and nectarines, and right now you're going to have cherries soon. That's it. It's everything seasonal here. It's all from here. Anyways, he brings many sources. I don't have time right now, but it's a Tzvihirsch Kalasher. When you have real signs of redemption, that means it's no longer a time where you can't go. Okay, the wall only stands Babylonia, the wall stands for only 1,000 years. All these things have sources from different earlier sources. Nothing he made up here. This is what he found in Svarim, why the Gimel Shvuos are limited to these situations. Those descending to build the temple, when there's apparent coverage, there's no wall, the issue of the wall remains a dispute of time, it's a machlokes, actually, in the Gemara. Okay? It could be that we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yosef ben Chisma, that it's not the accepted opinion. The teacher of the oath, Rabbi Zera, retracted them. The halakhic authorities disagree with the oath of Megillas Esther not to send like a wall. The wall is only agadic and not legal. Halakhic, this is the opinion of the Avnei Nezer, the Sakha Shavar. The oaths are divine decrees and not a prohibition. It's a gzera, it's not an isser. It's a gzera. This explains why we weren't able to establish a return to Eretz Yisrael. There was a decree, and now the decree is ended. It's not an isser. Yeah.
So people who don't believe in religious Zionism, what do
What's their approach as to how like Ur Ula comes? They just did their idea, we just waited out? No matter where you are?
It's not monolithic. It's not one opinion.
Yeah, okay.
But generally the response is, yeah, let's wait till Mashiach comes. Right now, we're all a big bilbils, all confusion. We follow what the Gedolim say. The Gedolim tell us what to do. And this is not it. So we'll just wait to see until they change their mind.
What did they say about Israel and Zion when they came back? Why were they allowed to come back?
So again, there was a specific call from God. These were still a time of nevuah. Still, they knew exactly what they were doing, and Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared through the voice of Koresh to go. And Koresh says, "I'm coming in the name of God, the most powerful man in the world, telling him to go and return, establish a state." Okay. Okay, what does a wall? Shalo yilu kechoma. So actually the Gemara, interestingly enough, Gemara on Yuma, Daf Tes, says here, Im asitem atzvachem kechoma, v'alitem kulchem yimei ezra, nimshamtu v'kesev she'in rekem shalepo. The Gemara actually takes issue with the fact that the Jewish people didn't come during the time of Ezra in mass. They didn't come. And that's why the temple didn't last. If you would have come in the time of Ezra in mass, kichoma, then you'd be like silver where there's no rot. It doesn't rot. But because you came like a latot, you didn't come like a wall, you came like doors. In and out. You didn't come in a large group, so then you became like you were like cedar, which is like where rekev, where rot can take hold in. In other words, the second temple, the Gemara is explaining here, why is it that the second temple was destroyed? And the Gemara says here, because shelo yalu kechoma, because they didn't come up in mass. Okay? I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but when Koresh called up the Jewish people, very few people, we spoke about this in the context of Megillas Esther, the second parak of Ezra, lists off all the families that came up. All the families that came during that time, they find their name in Sefer Ezra, it's the parak Bet. But only 40,000 of hundreds of thousands, of millions of Jews came to settle in Eretz Yisrael when they had a chance. Okay. Now, one of the perhaps greatest arguments for religious Zionism is the Torah. You read Sefer Devarim, Perek Lamed. You read these psukim, and it's hard to argue that we are not living this time. These psukim. Also consider the fact that this parsha immediately follows. What parsha? What? The Tochacha. Okay, the Tochacha, Parshas Kisavo, which describes the most horrific things that are going to happen to Jewish people. Okay? Is the parsha really precedes this. And we know, we have a tradition from the Ramban, we have a tradition from the Vilna Gaon, that Sefer Devarim is a historical account of the Jewish people. That whatever is there, and certainly the Tochacha is going to happen to Jewish people. In fact, one of the arguments that people give, in not only in religious Zionist sources, but in Haredi sources, one of the arguments for where was God during the Holocaust, is what do you mean? The Holocaust is the greatest proof of the Torah. Because if you read the Tochacha, it's an exact description of what happened in the Holocaust. So if you want to say, why it happened, okay, you don't know why it happened, but that God said it's going to happen, and it happened. It's a fulfillment of the Tochacha. That's what the Holocaust was. So the parsha that immediately follows the Tochacha is the parsha. Vahiyaki v'olecha kol mir ha'ila rachav akhala asher nesalti panecha v'ashevos alecha kol mir ha'shedulcha shem lekach shama. Vishavta Hashem Lukanam Vishavata Mikolo. Right? And now we have description. Vishav Hashem Lukanam Ashvuscha Yuchametha. God will return the remnants of you. He'll have compassion on you. Vikivetzcha Mikol Hamim. He'll start to gather you from all the nations. He'll gather you from the all the corners of the earth. This is the story of redemption. This is the story of the Jewish people returning to their land. Is this not what's going on? Can anyone argue differently? Before the establishment of Israel, there were 600,000 Jews living in Israel. Since that time, since 1948, close to 4 million Jews have made Aliyah. 4 million Jews have come on their own, whether they were forced, right, out of danger or because of their voluntarily, they have come to live here. They've chosen to live here, close to 4 million. Besides the natural growth of the 600, right, we stand at a time where there are 7 million people in Israel. Okay, in another 20, 30 years, there'll be more Jews living in Israel than in any other, than the rest of the world. Okay, right now, Israel or America, there's a debate which is the largest concentration of one country that Jews. It could be Israel has more than America. It's not clear how many in America. But in terms of, it's a matter of 20, 30 years because of assimilation, there are going to be more Jews living in Israel than all the rest of the world combined. That has halachic ramifications in terms of Shemitah and Yovel becomes Daraisa at that point. Other issues that become, that is going to be a significant moment in our lives, which we will probably be around for, if not earlier. Yeah.
This is like we're going to all serve Hashem and all the mitzvot, but like most of the country isn't doing that.
Most of the country is not doing what?
Like it says, "Shavu l'kol kachol Hashem nufu mitzchayom atav benecho b'chol kachol Hashemah." They said like we're going to all like keep to the mitzvot.
So the Al-Sheikh, the parish of the Al-Sheikh, says that this is two stages here. There's a stage of returning to Eretz Yisrael, and afterwards a stage of returning to God and His mitzvahs. That's look up the parish of Al-Sheikh on this. That's how he explains this. There are two stages here. And if you look here, Vishavta, look at these psukim here. Vishavta ad Hashem Lokecha. And then, and there, ki tishma b'kol Hashem l'kecha l'shmur mitzvosav, ki tashuv el Hashem l'kecha b'chol v'chol nafshecha. This pasuk and this pasuk, bet and yud, are sort of flip mirror images of each other. V'shamta Hashem l'kecha, and then v'shamata b'kolo. Right here, v'shamata b'kolo, tishma b'kol, and then ki tashuv el Hashem l'kecha. Okay, so this is the first stage, where it's not a full tshuva, ki tashuv el Hashem. This is tshuva ad Hashem l'kecha, but not reaching God yet. And then you start to listen to Him, start following His mitzvahs, and then this is the complete tshuva. Yeah, Ariel.
You said that the Torah is one of the biggest proofs we have, but the signs that how do all these condolences of people misread it? I mean, regardless, they may not be Zionists, but they're still our Gedolim, like you said. And it's just so many from Jews disagree with this view that there has to be some footing for it, more so than just they're misinformed or they just follow the Gedolim because they're intelligent people.
100%. They do have what to say, no question. They do have what to say.
They know
the
Torah better than me.
That's no question. I think the question you have to ask is, first of all, let's take. We'll talk about Rav Salvation. We'll get to it. Yeah. We'll get to it. If I didn't get to it. So ask me at the end, and we'll get to it. We're gonna get there. Yeah.
Is it true that the first like olim for the preceding the second Beit Hamikdash were mostly like in relatively secular Jews?
It is true that there were many problems with the Olim during the time of Ezra. There was a lot of assimilation. There was a lot of Chil Shabbos. There were many ignorant people, which makes the argument all the more so. In other words, if you study Ezra and Nehemiah, okay, you study Sefer, and I recommend it if you haven't done so yet. If you study Ezra and Nehemiah, you see the parallelism with what's going on in our time. It's so striking. So striking. We think we have problems, they had their problems seem to be much worse than our problems. Okay? But it's at the same time, Chazal held us accountable that we didn't respond, but we should have. Who ended up coming? The Yachi Parche. It wasn't the greatest. Okay? And that's part of the Bikasha. And that's why it seems to be history repeating itself with response today.
It all happened right after Purim, right?
What's that?
It all happened right after Purim.
During the time, right. Right, correct. Right before Purim, right after Purim, yes. Okay. So we saw some responses in terms of the Gemara Shavuot. We saw one of the strongest arguments of religious Zionism is the Psukim in Sefer Devarim in Perek Lamed. Another very strong argument, and this is the argument we said earlier about the argument that in the anti-Zionist world is that we were better off before Zionism came into the world. Zionism brought with it tragedy. In fact, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, his argument was that the Holocaust is a result of Zionism. It's the sin of Zionism that brought upon us the Holocaust. So then we come to the Avion Conference, 1938. Now, those of you who went to Poland, you probably heard us talk about the Avion Conference. The Avion Conference was a conference after Austria became, there was the Anschluss, Germany overtook Austria, and now there were many hundreds of thousands of Jews under the control of Nazi Germany. And in 1938, they held a conference in Avion in France, in which all about 40 nations of the world, the greatest nation of the world, signed what to do with the problem of the refugees, of the Jewish refugees. And one after another said, we'd love to help, but we can't. Australian delegation, as we have an Austrian in Australia, I'm sorry, Austrian, we have no racial problem, we are not desirous of importing one. Okay, and one after another said, we can't help. We've reached our quotas. We can't do. One after another. A Golda Meir described her outrage, being the ludicrous of the observer from Palestine. Wasn't even allowed to be seated with the delegates. There's only one thing I hope to see before I die, and that is that my people should not need expressions of sympathy anymore. Very facetious remark. The world, Chaim Weizmann, who later is the first president of Israel, the world seemed divided into two parts. Those places where the Jews could not live and those where they could not enter. The Jews had no place to go. And we know the stories of many, I believe it's the next slide. It's not. But in many ships with the Jews trying to escape Germany that are not allowed entrance into countries only sent back to Europe to meet their annihilation. Okay. Rabbi Lau. Okay, we were in Pietrzykow, which is where Rabbi Lau is from. And here he's on the boat, Metrua, upon entering the port of Haifa. Okay? Now he comes to Haifa, very interesting little story here. His brother told him, they're taking me away, I see no way out of this Gehenna. This is the end of the world. He says, you're going to be left alone now, but you still have friends. Maybe a miracle will happen, and you'll survive. Just want to tell you, there's a place called Eretz Yisrael. Repeat after me, Eretz Yisrael. Okay, this is 1945, before the State of Israel. I repeated the words which meant nothing to me. Eretz Yisrael is the home of the Jews. It's the only place in the world where they don't kill us. If you survive, there will be people who will want to take you to live with them because you're a cute little boy. You're not going anyplace. Only to Eretz Yisrael. We have an uncle there. Send it your Rabbi Lau's son and tell him to find your uncle. Goodbye, Luluk. Remember Eretz Yisrael. Now Naftali, his brother Tulik, actually survives as well. But that's what he's told. Come to Eretz Yisrael. Now he comes to Eretz Yisrael. He comes on this boat. Comes to Haifa, the port of Haifa. And what does he see there?
Wait, what's his name?
This is Rabbi Lau. This is Rabbi Lau. Luluk. That was his nickname, Luluk. Yisrael Meir. They call him Luluk. What does he see when he comes to Eretz Yisrael? He sees British soldiers. And he sees guns. And he sees barbed wire. And he sees that Jews are being led into a camp. Atlit. Anyone been to Atlit? Okay, so this year we'll take you guys, but we prepare you to take you to Atlit. Actually build a really nice museum there. Great air conditioning. He comes, and there the British are not letting them. He doesn't want to get off the boat. He says, this can't be it. They told me Eretz Yisrael is the only place that would be safe. This can't be it. And he describes, if you read his biography, he describes, it's like, he's frightened. Look at it, like, he was frightened to get off the boat. And they have to know, it's going to be okay. But this wasn't, only when the British leave, only when we're master of our own destiny, can we enter into Eretz Yisrael without a certificate, without a Yishurim, without permission. It's only when we establish Eretz Yisrael. Now Rabbi Lau comes out of Buchenwald, out of the ash of the Holocaust, and becomes chief rabbi of Israel. Right? Nobody represents the rebirth of the Jewish people more than Rabbi Lau. What time we got?
53.
Okay, we're gonna do this very quickly. There is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Including in that mitzvah is the obligation to conquer the land, to settle it, to have Jewish sovereignty over it. That's the position of the Ramban, and it's the majority of Rishonim, Achronim, Pasim like the Ramban. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, the Piskei Tshuva, which gives the conclusion of all the, says that clearly that the mitzvah, we follow the opinion of the Ramban, that is the majority, overwhelming majority of the opinion of the Rishonim, Achronim, that is the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. So if secular Jews began a movement to stop slandering one another, would we engage in Lashon Hara? Follow that? Again. If secular Jews would say, we stop speaking Lashon Hara, would we then be involved in Lashon Hara? Because they're doing that mitzvah? So what? Secular Jews, they took, let's just say for argument's sake, that they took the bull by the horns. They went and settled Eretz Yisrael. So we're not going to go to fulfill the mitzvah of settling Eretz Yisrael because secular Jews are involved in it. Okay. Rambam Mishneh Torah. Very strong argument. We spoke about this early in the year. There was a debate when it came to Hanukkah. Should we celebrate Hanukkah? Should we make it into a Yom Tov or not? How can we establish when did Hanukkah happen?
Second temple.
Okay? It's after there's no more Nevi'im. Okay? It's a Chazal created holiday. Where did they get the audacity to create a holiday? For what? So the Rambam says, because there was like Israel, people at that time, there were terrible decrees against Jewish people, didn't allow them to do Torah mitzvos, and there were terrible contaminations of the temple. But Salam Yisrael, what did they have? Lachzun Nachatz Gadol, Ad Shirichem Aleim Elkei Oseidu, Kodesh Rav had Racham on them, Hoshiyam Yadam, he set them from their hands. The Gorub Bnei Hashemayak Kohanim HaGadolim, okay, the Hashmonite kingdom, which were Kohanim, they killed them. Haragum Moshe Yisrael Miyadam, they led to the salvation of Jewish people. Vehemidu Melech Min HaKohanim, and they established a king from the priests. V'chazra ma'flos Yisrael yeter ha-matayim shana ad kurban ha-sheni. And the sovereignty was returned to Jewish people for 200 years. Now, is this the sovereignty that we are aspiring to? Is this... The Rambam says, and the Rambam in Sefer Melachim says, the only true king of the Jewish people must be from of Davidic descent. Must be from Shevet Yehuda. Kohanim can't be Malachim. Kohanim can't be kings. And the Hasmonean kingdom, for 200 years, they ruled here, and yet we celebrate Hanukkah. Why? Because the Jewish people are now sovereign. They are masters of their own destiny. We become free, sovereign in our own country once again. Is this not the situation we're in today?
But that situation was wrong.
What?
It's exactly.
It's a point. Despite the fact that it wasn't the ideal government. In fact, many of the Hasmoneite. Who was the Hasmoneite? Is this the next slide? I'm trying to remember. I haven't seen this in a year. Yes. Hasmoneite kingdom. Who was one of the King Yana? You know the story of Yana Yamelech? Wasn't such a good guy, Yana Yamelech. Could be that he was worse than Ben Gurion. What did he do? He killed all the Chachamim. He was only one Chacham left. His brother-in-law, Shimon ben Shetach. Since he killed all the rabbis, there's no one to lead. They had nobody to bench. Nobody could lead. Nobody knew how to lead benching. He said to his wife, "Would it be that someone to bless for us? Someone could make to do benching for us?" He says, "Will you promise not to kill him?" So he brings her brother in, Shimon ben Shetach. He killed all Chacham. And yet, we celebrate Hanukkah, the Hasmonean kingdom, which weren't tzaddikim. Aristobulus, not of the biggest tzaddikim. Okay? And we celebrate Hanukkah. Even though it was not, we were not led by very big Talmid Chachamim as the heads of our state. State of Israel is born. Now, this is a great poster. You can get the real poster. Rabbi Yaakov Haber used to teach here in our yeshiva. He has a website called TorahLab.com. He made this poster. Okay, who are the heirs of the Vilna Gaon? Okay, it's a great poster. I don't think I can make this bigger. But anyways, you have here just Vilna Gaon. His Balazhin Yeshiva, and you have what comes out of the Balazhin Yeshiva. Okay? We seem to think that the Yeshivish world is monolithic and that they're all of the opinion, like you said earlier, all the Golan are one opinion. It's not the case. Okay? You have here, coming from Balazhin Yeshiva, you have actually a lot of divergent opinions that emerge from the Vilna Gaon. Okay, just so you should, you don't have it in front of you, you can't really see it here, but this is a picture of Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook. That's his father, Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen Cook, who was a Talmud in Balazhin Yeshiva. He's a Talmud, very Talmud, close Talmud of the Tziv. Okay, you also have here, that's Rabbi Soloveitchik. You also have Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, son of Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, son of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, who was Rosh Hashiva Balazhin, son of Beis HaLevi. Okay, so you have here, you have Chofetz Chaim, she was Chofetz Chaim, Rehana Leibowitz. There's divergent opinions, even amongst the Talmidim, of descendants of Vilna Gaon, including Reb Soloveitchik, Reb Cook. Okay? Trust me, they're Zionists. I don't have to read it. Rabbi Soloveitchik, also, people know my attitude. So I consider the emergence of the State of Israel a miracle. Okay, many, many other statements. I don't have time. Come on. Anyone else? Anyone else here? Recognize anybody here?
Schefter.
Gemara Chalio. Lichtenstein. Rav Yosef. Who's that? Come on.
Rari Levine.
Who's that? Rav Kahaneman. Rosh Yeshiva Panovich. Established Panovich Yeshiva. Yom HaTzmaut. Wave the flag. Okay? Of the State of Israel. Yom HaTzmaut. Shalom Zalman Barba. Tzitz Eliezer. Rav David Lifshitz. Rav Herzog was the first chief rabbi of the State of Israel. The Netziv. This is the Yom HaBana Smecha. Rav Taifa. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, Rav Tzvi Yosef Kalischer, Rav Yehuda Alkali.
Is that the bottom of that?
That could be you. Anyways, there are many, many great gdolim from Jesus. Now this is from the yeshiva world, my friends. This is from people who would consider themselves students of the only God, except for maybe these two over here. Okay? But we're leaving out, the truth is we're leaving out a lot of other Rabbanim. And then there's the whole Sephardi world. The whole Sephardi, Taimani, Moroccan, Syrian. You'll be hard pressed to find those who don't see the State of Israel as a miracle. Despite the fact that after the State of Israel was established, they were kicked out of their countries. They're almost pe'achad. Also, we don't have many of the Rabbanim. I think Rabbi David mentioned this in his speech. Many Hasidish Rabbanim also, the Ger Rebbe, also saw it as a positive thing. Now, does the Ger Rebbe say Halal Yom HaTzmaut? He does not say. Okay, but they signed on. They take part in voting for Eretz Yisrael. They have a very, very positive view of Eretz Yisrael amongst other Hasidish Rebbe. Okay, what time we got?
7:06.
This is the most important part of the thing. Okay, how do you go backwards?
If you move the master, it should be narrow in the back.
What's that?
Move the master, should be narrow in the back.
How do you help?
Okay, anyways, I mentioned Sephardic Gedolim. Here they are. Okay? Sakhar Moshe Feinstein. This is very, very important. Okay, this is perhaps the most important slide in the whole thing, and then this. Moshe was asked about, somebody asked, since most poskim do not rely on the Heter Mechira, Shemitah, there's a Heter Mechira, right? You guys familiar with this? Ring a bell? No? No. Okay, very, very bekitzer. During the, every 7 years is a year called Shemitah, you can't work the land of Israel. That's ring a bell? It's in the Torah. Okay? Here in Israel, it's where it's applicable. Okay, you can't work the land every 7 years. Now, that means when it comes to Esrogim in particular, okay, you can't plant trees, you can't take care of the tree and then sell, you're not allowed to sell the esrogim up from the seventh year. So one of the ways to sort of to get around the problem of Shemitah is a psak of the Rabbanim many, many years ago, which the chief rabbinate basically reinstitutes almost every time in the Shemitah, is that they sell the land. There's a heter mechira. They sell the land, the whole land of Eretz Yisrael, to non-Jews, which then loses its status of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the Gabi Shemitah, and then they can work the land, and then, as if... Right, I'm not going into the particular... We don't have time now to go into that situation. But there is... There are Rabbanim who allow this Heter Mechira. Many Rabbanim don't like it. So Rav Moshe was asked, according to the most posts, do not allow Heter Mechira, shouldn't it be forbidden to buy such an Esra? And aren't we being misayel dvar avera, aren't we involved in lifneiva lositem mechshav? In other words, if I go and I buy an esrog in chutz la'aretz from somebody who whatever, he's selling it, planted it, using the Heter Mechira, aren't I being a Mesayel Dvar Avera? Isn't this a wrong act on my part? I shouldn't even encourage him to do this terrible Avera? Says Ramosha, it's obvious that since they are following a Psak Halacha, even if Allah does not follow that opinion, there is no sin involved. They are acting correctly according to their Psak, which is a legitimate opinion. Since today there's no vehicle gathering all the rabbis together, there's no application of you must follow the majority. In other words, they're following a legitimate Psak. Yesh ami lismach. You're not being misayel dvar avera if you buy an Esrog from them. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They're following the opinion of their rabbanim. And therefore, it's a totally legitimate approach. You're not at all wrong. He's not wrong in following it, and you're not wrong in assisting him. You don't want to follow it? That's your psak. That's the majority opinion even. We don't have an application of Rove Poskim today. There's no Sanhedrin. We can't establish what is the halacha that to the exclusion of all others. He has al yesh al milismach and you have al milismach. Why is this so important? Why is this the most important slide?
Because people might come and say, oh, you're full resettling of like Rav Cook's opinion that's like beginning of the gula. They might say that's just a yachid opinion.
Okay, and even if they say it's a yachid opinion, even if they say, besides the fact that we show that there are many, many, many rabbanim, basically from the communities that we come from. Not only the communities that we come from, but the communities that your rabbeim come from. Your rabbeim, without exception, every single one of them, come from homes where they said Hal and Yom HaTzmut. Every single one of your rabbeim come from homes where they say Hal and Yom HaTzmut. Many of their opinions have changed since then. They don't. But in other words, the fact that they're, even if you want to say the majority of Gedolei Yisrael in the yeshiva world oppose it, what does that do with me? What does it do with me? In other words, my Rebbe, my Rabbanim, my family follows the psak of the Rav Soloveitchik or this or Rav Cook, whatever it is, whoever they follow, that is the opinion. It's a totally legitimate opinion to the point where if someone says, well, you're not following this, okay, I'm not a Talmud of his. He's not my Rebbe. He's not my Rebbe. It doesn't have to do with me. I follow, just like, do you make Kiddush sitting down or standing up? You follow what you do in your family. Both opinions are Yeshal Milismo. Most poskim say you should sit down for Kiddush. Okay, it's not what I got from my family. I follow what I do in my family. There's no reason why anyone should move over to the other side if this is a legitimate side from his family. And again, you study the sources. If you come to the conclusion, you go through the sugya, you study the sources, you come to a different conclusion, then you do Shailas Rab. Then maybe you should follow the other opinion. But if you go through the sources and you find that this is 100% makes more sense to me, and this is what my family does, that's what you should do. That's why the Psak Ramosh is very, very significant. Okay, fellas. Have a good evening. Guys, right after tomorrow, we're going to show...